I'm always anxious to get up here and look around and see who's here. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that William R. Newell, who wrote this song, he was at Moody Church waiting to get up to speak. And as he waited, this song came to mind, and he wrote this song. And then he gave the words to Towner, and he put music to it. That's a beautiful song. It's almost inspired. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. I always look forward to coming here. I look forward to the trip Mary and I have with Ray and Judy. We talk theology, we talk politics, not for long because I'm not sure we're on the same page. But we have a good time coming here. And this place is very special to me because when we came home from the field 15 years ago, is it now? About 15 years ago. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. We knew it was time to come home. But we came here to a missionary study class. And Joel Ayers, remember Joel Ayers? He had been to Myanmar. And he came back and he showed pictures from his ministry in Myanmar, and the Lord touched my heart at that time and opened the door for me to go to Myanmar. I've been there by, I think, 10 or 12 times. My heart is very much there, and I'm where I can't travel now because of my physical situation. I do video recordings, and I send them to the seminary that CAP has started there. CAP is very ambitious. You're doing well to help him. I've had a chance to work with church leaders around the world, and I know church leaders, and he is one of the best. So I just encourage you to keep up the helping CAP. So that is why this place, this church is very precious to us, along with many good friends we have. We see Bill every month, and we keep up with you that way. And Ray comes to our prayer for the Muslim world every month too, usually. So it's good to have this connection, and seeing our Indian friends here. We love Indian food, so that keeps us in before India. I have this armor on because I have a cracked vertebrae and I have to wear this. I'm supposed to have an operation done on my neck to straighten out the vertebrae in my neck that are putting pressure on my spinal cord. But because I've cracked my vertebrae, I can't have that done until the vertebrae straighten out. And in the meantime, I have a fluid buildup on my brain that they're going to have to drain the fluid from my brain before they can work on my neck. And that can't happen until the vertebrae in my back is healed up. So I don't have to tell you here, but getting old is not for sissies. It's very interesting. But for many years, I carried the gospel for the Lord. Recently, the Lord has been carrying me and my wife, so we praise the Lord for that. Okay, what we're going to do for 3 weeks here, where I'm a missionary. I praise God that he's called me, my wife and I, to be missionaries. We're both missionaries. And we have the apostolic calling on us. And the apostolic gift of missions is really the point, the tip of the spear in God's advance of his kingdom into the world. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I try to keep very much up with missions. So what I want to do with you for the next 3 weeks is study the book of Jonah. Now, I will encourage you to read the book of Jonah once a day. I think it only has 4 chapters. You can do that. And if you have any questions, write them down. And when you come, ask me the questions. I'm not sure I got the answers, but we can think about it together. So we're going to look at Jonah for 3 weeks, today and then the next 2 weeks. What I want to do, I want to look, today we're going to look at the book of Jonah in a general way. We'll kind of introduce it, but I really want to focus in on God's redemptive mission to the nations and see how the book of Jonah fits into that God's plan of redemption for the nations. We'll look at that today. And then the next 2 weeks, we'll look at the book of Jonah itself and study and see what we can learn from Jonah. Sinclair Ferguson, he was a professor at Westminster for many years. He's Scottish. He wrote a book on Jonah called Man Overboard. That's a good title for it. I've got messages on Jonah, and I call my title for them is Lessons to be Learned from a Reluctant Missionary. So that's what we're going to look at as we look into the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah, the Hebrew name Jonah means dove. And Jonah was from the northern kingdom, from Israel. The Jewish people were divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And we have these two kingdoms, and Jonah was from the northern kingdom. Most all the prophets were from the southern kingdom, but Jonah was from the northern kingdom. During the historic period of the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrian Empire was rising in power, was really at the peak of its power, and he had his ministry during the time of Jeroboam II, who was a pretty corrupt king, like most of the kings were, all the kings from the north. Now, Jonah is considered a minor prophet. Now, there are 17 prophetic books, and they're divided into two sections, the major prophets and the minor prophets. Now, that's not based on their importance. That's based on their length. The longer books, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Daniel, are called the major prophets because they're longer. The other 13 prophetic books are called minor because they're shorter. And Jonah is considered a minor prophet. Now, it's very interesting that there are no prophecies in the book of Jonah, unlike most of the other prophetic books. There are no prophecies in the book of Jonah. And there are no miracles. Jonah never did any miracles. And yet he was one of the more important prophets. Now, some people tell us that this is just a parable. This is there never was a real man named Jonah. And Jonah never had the experience of being swallowed by a whale. Well, they can say that. But Jesus referred to Jonah on two occasions in his teaching. And he used Jonah and his experience of 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly as an illustration of the Son of Man. He said, as Jonah was in the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the bowels of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. So I tend to go along with Jesus on this. You can do what you want. That's up to you. But Jonah was a real man. How could he be swallowed by a whale? Well, first of all, there are records of people who have been swallowed by whales, and they lived. But the book of Jonah says that God prepared a special fish. We say a whale because we can't think of anything bigger than a whale. But it was a special fish that God prepared just for Jonah. Now, when he prepared that fish, he could have prepared kind of a nice place, or could have had a lounge inside that fish, a kitchen, or who knows. Well, I doubt that. But anyhow, it was a special fish that God prepared to swallow Jonah. We'll look at that in the coming couple weeks. Now, Jonah was called to a cross-cultural ministry. And what the book of Jonah shows us is that God's mission was not in the Old Testament was not just for Israel. It was also for the Gentile nations, because God so loved the world and that cosmos, that means humanity as a whole, and creation is involved in that too. So God so loved the world, and the Assyrian people were included in that. Now, the Assyrians were a very evil people, very pagan people, very unclean people from the perspective of the Jewish laws. They were a very violent people. When they conquered their enemies, they would take their enemies and they would skin them alive, remove their skin while they were still alive, and then they would nail the skin to the walls of the city of Nineveh. So all around, you would see the skin of their enemies that they had conquered nailed to the wall. Now God called Jonah to go to this people and preach and warn them of coming judgment. Now we'll see that Jonah refused to go at first because he knew God was gracious and merciful, and he knew if he preached this message to the Ninevites, they would probably repent, and if they repented, God would be gracious and he would spare them judgment. And Jonah hated them and he wanted them to be judged. And even when he went, as we'll see, he went against his heart and against what he really wanted to do. So we're going to look and see God's mission and God's purpose of reaching the people groups of the world. Now, as Christians, we need to be in tune with God and be listening to God's voice and be listening to what God is doing and have the God's burden on our hearts. Well, Jesus said in John 10:16 to his disciples, he said, as he was looking at all these Jewish disciples, he looked at them and he said, "Other sheep I have, which are not yet of this fold." In other words, other people groups that are not Jewish are out there that I want to bring into my fold. I'm here for the whole world. And he said, "Them also I must bring." So that is the burden that was on Jesus' heart, to reach out and to bring all the people groups in. And we'll see how this developed. Now, I'd like to look at a PowerPoint, if I could. You back there, Ray? You sleeping? Oh, is that the first slide? Okay, good. Okay, Jonah, the God's Reluctant Missionary, or the Story of a Man Overboard. I like that title. Okay, now what we need to keep in mind is, as Christians, there are two stories being played out in human history. One is a divine story and one is a human story. You have the human story, the micro story, man's many micro stories, the different stories that man has produced and man has worked through and is still working through at the lower level, the micro stories. That's the secondary stories. But when God looks down from heaven, his concern is with his macro or mega. You like that word mega? Anyhow, I won't get into that. Mega story, the story of redemption, the advance of God's redemptive mission among the nations. That's what's important to God. That's what we need to tune into. When you gather here for prayer, for your missionaries, for the advance of God's mission in the world, when God looks down, what you're doing here from God's perspective is more important than what takes place in Washington, D.C., or Moscow, or London, or Tokyo, or anywhere else. That's where God's concern is. The advance of his story, his macro story among the nations. Oh, that's small. Okay, God's redemptive mission to the nations. God focuses in on people groups. Now, in Genesis 1:27, it says that God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Only two sexes. That's quite current. So God made mankind into two. There are simply two classifications of mankind. But then when man rebelled against God and started to build the Tower of Babel, God came down in Genesis and he said, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. And he brought this project of building this tower to an end. And at that time, I believe that the languages and the cultures of the world and the people groups of the world were started in seed form. And then if you come to Acts 2:5, Luke points out and puts emphasis on ethnos, that means ethnic groups. So when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he did not preach in Koine Greek. He preached in the language of the people. And so all the people heard the message in their own language. But this is important because they all would have probably understood Koine Greek. But God wanted to underline the importance of culture, of people groups, and so that's what he caused to happen. Now, when Jesus sent his disciples out into the world, he told them in Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Now, that word nation is not geopolitical nations. It's cultural, ethnic nations. The word for nations is ethnos, where we get our word ethnic from. So Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and plant my church in the cultural, linguistic context of all the people. One language, many different ways of presenting that language. Don't change the meaning of the language, but make it acceptable and adaptable to each culture. There are over 17,000 different people groups, and God wants his church planted in each one of those people groups. Now we see at the end in the book of Revelation, gathered around the throne, there are people from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. Nation, again, that's ethnos. So this is the thrust of God's movement. So the Assyrians were a people group that were included in God's mission. That's why he sent Jonah to this people to announce his word. Now this shows you, as I mentioned, the different people groups. There are 58.2% of the people groups have received the gospel, but 41% are yet unreached. And this is about, these are the different people, religions of the world. You have Buddhism, you have Christian, you have Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, and the animus. So this is the context in which we need to present the gospel. And each one of these religions is a different worldview and a different context. And the gospel has to be adapted to each one of those so that they will understand. When you go to India, you don't ask the Indian people if they want to be born again, because they do. Again and again and again in Hinduism. So you have to be careful what you say and what you're saying too. Now, there's 5.14 billion non-Christians in the world who do not know a Christian personally. So this is the great mass of the world that is unevangelized, and there are no Christians close enough to them to evangelize them. So the church needs to send more missionaries out to these areas to reach them. Okay? And this is kind of a repetition of the other one that we saw. Okay. This shows you kind of where the mass of the people are. The red represents the great challenge to the church. This is where Islam is strong, Buddhism, Hinduism, and also animism. And this is in most all of these areas, you cannot get in as a traditional missionary. You have to get in. There are ways to get in, but it's creative access. You have to think of some other way to get in, maybe as a teacher, maybe as a student, or through agriculture, whatever. But ways to get in, and then you can share the gospel once you get in. David Platt, who is senior pastor at McLean Bible Church, our son and his family go to that church. They have a great mission vision. He said the global cause of Christ should dictate everything the Christian thinks, desires, and does. To be a biblical Christian and a true follower of Jesus Christ is to be ready and willing to go anywhere at any time by any means. That almost sounds like a military person. But to be willing to go anywhere at any time by any means, no matter where we find ourselves on the age scale. So the God's mission to the unreached people of the world should be burning in our hearts, should be have a prior place in our lives. C.T. Studd, the founder of our mission of WEC, he's made this simple statement that has become the theme, the motto of our mission. Since Jesus Christ is God and died for me, no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Not too many days ago, we celebrated the martyrdom of the five missionaries in Ecuador. They paid the ultimate price. And on the basis of that sacrifice, their message, the message of their martyrdom goes on. I'm talking about it right now, all these years later. So that the work of God will not get done unless a price is paid. Jonah, at the beginning, was unwilling to pay that price. We'll see how he got on a boat and he was going to sail away from God's. Goodbye, God. It was nice knowing you, but I'm leaving you. Well, we'll see how that didn't work out. This is what we'll look at. This is what happened. Jonah was in Israel. He went down to Joppa on the Mediterranean Sea, the western coast. And Nineveh was to the northwest. Well, he went to the south. He went to the northeast. I mean, and Jonah got on a ship, and he went to the east to Tarsus, which is right near Gibraltar. But we'll look at that. We'll look at that next week. I think that's the last slide. Okay, now. I go to what? I go till everybody's asleep? Should I quit at 2:15? Oh, noon. Okay, well, I got a bit more here. So, hold on. Now, there's from the book of Jonah, we're going to learn some basic lessons about God. The book of Jonah shows us that God is a missionary God. He's on a mission among the nations. And in the Old Testament, he's not simply the God of the Jews. God chose the Jews from among the nations, not as an end in themselves, but as a means to an end. Israel's problem was they started to look upon themselves as an end, as the receiver of God's blessing, as a bucket to receive the blessings, whereas, in fact, God chose Israel and wanted to make Israel into a watering can so that they could water the nations with the blessings that God gave them. So in the Word of God, Old Testament or New Testament, people were saved and are saved by the same means. There's not one way in the Old Testament and another way in the New. It's by faith. Remember in, I think it's Genesis 15, 6, it says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You believe God and that was counted to you for righteousness. The same thing. In the Old Testament, Israel was chosen to model and to live the law of God among the nations to attract them to Jehovah, whose light was there among them. And to come and God says he chose them in Exodus 19:6 and 1 Peter 2:9. He says, you were chosen. You are a holy chosen nation, a special possession, so that you may declare my glory in my person to the pagan nations. So in the Old Testament, the movement of missions was from the outside in, centripetal, I believe, right? You engineers here. From the outside in is centripetal. But in the New Testament, with the church, we have centrifugal, from the inside out. Israel was to wait and to attract the nations to it. And they would see the way Israel was living and practicing the law of God, and the plan was that they would desire to become followers of Jehovah and practicing his law. But now in the New Testament, the movement is different. It's centrifugal from the inside out. Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. The wonderful thing is God sends us when he says go. Mary and I, when we went to Burkina Faso in 1968, that's hard for you to believe, isn't it? I don't look that old, do I? But I am. But we went in 1968, and when God said go, and it was a tremendous change for us. I grew up on a farm, a farming area in Michigan. My wife grew up in Grand Rapids in the city. So when we got to Burkina Faso, we had moved back about 2,000 years, the way they lived and practiced. And we survived. Here we are. We raised four kids there. But when we got there, God said go when we were here in America. When we got to Burkina Faso, God said welcome. So the God that was here saying go, he was there waiting for us when we got there saying welcome. Welcome to Burkina Faso. So this is centrifugal. God sends his church out. The church is a missionary church. Whenever the church stops being a mission church, a church on the go, when the apostolic call to missions is not at the heart of the church, and that's what I appreciate so much about the Brethren movement. I grew up in a liberal Lutheran church, and soon after I was saved, I got into the Baptist churches, and then I came in contact with the Brethren assemblies. But it took me about 10 years to get in. They wouldn't let me in because I I didn't know all the language and everything. And I made it. I made it. And I do so much appreciate the assemblies and their vision for missions. It's at the heart of the assemblies. So this is God's burden. This is God's vision. Remember, overarching all of the micro stories of man is God's great mega story of missions. And what will we learn from the book of Jonah that can help us? Well, first of all, we'll see that God it's very costly to disobey God's call. We'll see how Jonah, how he suffered. When Jonah got on that ship at Joppa, I have a feeling that everything he owned, he put on that ship. Everything he owned. Because he didn't plan on coming back. He was going to go, and he was going to get as far as he could from Jehovah and the land of Israel. And he had he was burning his bridges. So he put everything he owned on that boat. And then he lost everything. He survives simply himself alone. He must have had to have borrowed some clothes once he got to land, because he didn't have anything on when he got out of that whale, whatever it was. So we're going to see how it's very costly to say no to God. It's very costly. And the second lesson we're going to learn is that God has no favorites. God loves all the nations, all the peoples of the world the same, and he desires them to come to him. And then we're going to see that from God's perspective, as I just said, the most important thing happening in the world is the advance of his redemptive mission among the nations. So be informed. Go online and type in Google Joshua Project. Try it this afternoon. Joshua Project. And you will see all the unreached people groups. You'll see all the people groups that have been reached. It's a tremendous tool to help us. And they have each day they have a different people group that is focused for prayer. Get into the habit of going there, looking up the people group for the day and praying for them. This is where God's emphasis is. And Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, the gospel must be preached to all nations, that's ethnos again, to all ethnic groups, and then the end will come. So if you want to hurry up Christ's return, pray that all the ethnic groups will hear the gospel, because Jesus said, the gospel must be preached to all nations, all ethnic groups, and then the end will come. So this is God's priority, the gospel going to the nations. Praise God for your vision here, for your involvement in missions. And the Lord bless you. So now read Jonah once a week. I'm not going to ask you next week who read Jonah once a week. I've been caught in that before. And been embarrassed. Hey, look at the missionary had to raise his hand. He didn't do it. I won't do that to you. But do try to read Jonah once a day. And if you have any questions, write them down, and then we can look at your questions next week. Okay, for those of you who are still awake, I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so wonderful. Thank you we can look at you, look to you, and call you the Lord of the harvest. You are in control of everything that's going on in the world. Nothing takes you by surprise. And everything that's happening, Lord, we know from your scriptures, it's all designed and programmed to further your message, your redemptive mission among the nations. So thank you, Lord, for that. Bless this local church. Bless the leadership. Glorify your name in everything, Lord. And we just want to pray that you bless those people groups of yet to hear the gospel, that they will be able to hear and believe pray for the missionaries that this local church prays for and supports and helps. Bless them, Lord. You think of Cap there in Myanmar, how difficult and dangerous it is right there, right now for him. Bless him and the churches he's working with in this Bible Institute. Thank you now, Lord. Bless the rest of this day that we might please you because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.